Sitcom that describes these two personality types. They assign the designation of judging to the planners and prospecting to the flexible. And they go on to say that the judging individuals are decisive, thorough, and highly organized. They value clarity, predictability, and closure, preferring situations and planning for spontaneity. While on the other hand, the prospecting individuals, or the flexible, are very good at improvising and spotting opportunities. They tend to be more flexible, relaxed nonconformists who prefer keeping their options open. Now, as Chris alluded to, I am getting married in just over 2 weeks now. And for the record, I'm very excited. Thank you. And I would definitely describe Kayla in our relationship as more of the planner. And I'm not saying that I'm not a planner, but when thinking about it and preparing this message, I would definitely say that I tend to be more of the flexible. But what I've learned through this past year that we've been dating and engaged is that you can't only be a planner or only flexible. You have to be some kind of balance of both. You need to work and plan your life with the understanding that your plans will be and are subject to change. We all know who ultimately is in control of our lives, and that is God. Because once we make that commitment at baptism, we are telling God that we are going to try and live our lives with according to Him and His way of life. It's kind of like hopping in a car for a road trip, which I have plenty of experience with. You buckle up and you put the destination in your GPS and you punch in the kingdom of God and you start driving off. You know your destination, but you just don't know exactly the route that God will take you. Because life is like that sometimes. You're driving along and suddenly a road's out. And God says, here, take this detour. Or there's heavy traffic through one particular city that takes you a lot longer to get through than you would have liked, Hartford. But anyway. Or sometimes something major will happen, like an accident. You're hurt or you're banged up, but you learn and you heal and you move on. Always heading toward your destination, just never knowing what way God will take to get you there. In life, we need to be both planners and be flexible if we're going to make it through our spiritual trip to the kingdom of God. So let's start off this afternoon by looking at what the Bible says about planning. And Proverbs seems like a pretty good place to start. So if you'd like to join me over in Proverbs chapter 27, we'll go ahead and read verse 27. Proverbs 24, 27. It reads, "Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house." Plan ahead is the message we read about here. One shouldn't just buy a house if he can't afford it, which in essence is what this verse is talking about. It's telling us to plan ahead and make ready ourselves a means to buy or to build our house. It's showing us the importance of planning and preparing for our lives. I've often heard this verse at camp or in different youth programs over the years that really stress getting career training before marriage. And there's another verse in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. And I'll apologize for the sniffling. I'm fighting a bit of a cold, but bear with me. It'll be on the recording. I'm sorry, Jerry. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Now, if we were looking for one Bible verse in particular to come out and say directly that we should be planners, this would be one of those examples. "The plans of the diligent," it says, "will lead us to success, while those who do not plan at all come to poverty or failure." The Bible here makes the correlation between planning and diligence. And diligence is a pretty interesting word, I think. The Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word diligence as steady, earnest, and energetic effort. These are characteristics of planners. They should also be characteristics of all of us as well. We should all be steady in our faith, giving focus and energetic effort in all that we do. Now, for one last scripture about planning, let's turn over to a very familiar passage over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 28. Luke 14, 28. "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it. Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it will begin to mock him, saying, "This is a man who began to build and was not able to finish." Once again, we have the example of the importance of planning in regards to our Christian walk. We shouldn't live our lives in such a way that we just make major decisions all willy-nilly. We have to ask ourselves questions. Can we afford this? How will this affect our lives moving forward? Can I finish what I'm about to set out and do? These are all questions that good planners need to ask themselves. We need to think through our choices. And that's why this verse is such an emphasized point during baptism counseling. Baptism is a lifetime commitment, and it's not a temporary engagement. And we need to be committed to seeing it to the end. So we ask ourselves, am I committed? Am I diligently seeking out God and his way of life? Do I study my Bible? Do I pray regularly? When times get tough, will I stick close to God or will I flee from him? Will I suffer hardship for God? These are all questions that we must ask ourselves as we count the cost of baptism and as we move forward in our Christian walk. And similarly, these are the types of questions we must ask as planners when we make decisions while on our journey to the kingdom of God. But what happens when all of our planning is suddenly rendered useless? Then what? This scenario can be a nightmare for those out there who pride themselves on being those planners. The idea that you could make a plan and have it all thought out only to have it changed in an instant. That's pretty scary. But that's what life is, and that's what life will throw our way when we least expect it. Maybe you got laid off of work without warning, or perhaps that you learned that you had a disease that you need immediate treatment for. The situation is not always the bigger problem, but rather how we decide to handle it. Will we dig our feet in the ground and not change? Will we get angry with the sudden direction change in our life? I have a quote that I think fits nicely here in regards to changing plans. And it goes something like this. "I can't change the direction of the wind, but I can adjust the sails to always reach my destination." By Jimmy Dean. Sometimes the wind is going to blow and it's going to change our direction in life, maybe to a place we didn't necessarily foresee. But what's going to define us is how we handle our new situation and how we adjust. I was thinking about some synonyms for flexible in preparing for this message. The word flexible is not actually in our Bibles, but the ideas of being bendable, yielding, and soft-hearted are. Also, the idea of being adaptable. We are especially supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit, for example. I'd like for us to consider an example of David that we can find in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, if you'd like to join me there. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, starting in verse 1. "Now it came to pass when David was dwelling in his house that David said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains.'" Now stop there. At first, David's intent was good, and Nathan eventually tells him to go ahead and do all that is in his heart. But God thinks a little differently, if you jump down to verse 3 now. "But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in.'" Pause again. Suddenly, David's mindset must change. God does not permit David to build the temple, but says rather your son will build it. But did David dig his feet in the ground? Was he mad at God? Was he angry? That's not what we find here. Instead, David happily spends the rest of his life gathering materials of the finest quality for the temple for his son to build. He showed extreme gracefulness and flexibility in his response to God down in verse 16, if you'd like to jump down there now. 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 16 now. This is David's response. "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God. And you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree, O Lord God. David doesn't wail that all his plans were suddenly changed, and he focuses on what God has allowed and what he can do. It's clear that planning the temple is approved, even if constructing it is not. I encourage us to look through this and, for example, 1 Chronicles 22, and look at it in more detail, because David's attitude is really very beautiful here. He's adaptable and flexible. The trait of flexibility tends to come out when we have situations in our lives when our desires were unmet because God might have had a different plan. Look no farther than Paul as another example of how to react when our plans are suddenly changed, over in Acts chapter 16 and verse 6. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6, we have an example of being flexible. Now, when they had gone through, these city names always get me, Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. We read here that Paul and Silas had made a plan. They were going to go preach the word of the Lord in Asia, but for some reason, God said no. It says the Spirit did not permit them. We don't know how God made this clear to them, but the statement is very strong. It forbid them. Maybe it was a dream, or the conditions were highly unfavorable. We don't really know. But talk about a direct intervention of God changing your plans in life. They had to adjust, just like all of us have to do today, when God tells us to turn around and to go into a different direction. But brethren, at the end of the day, this whole principle of being planners and being flexible really come down to one proverb in particular. And that would be Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. If you'd like to join me there for our final scripture. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs. We all have to think about how willing we are to accept God's plan for our lives. Am I stubborn or hard-hearted, or am I supple and flexible? Can God mold me into his image? And when we think about the examples of David and Paul, we realize that their original plans weren't necessarily wrong, but that God's plan was simply superior. Many of us have right desires to serve God or become financially stable or to get married, which I'm hoping to do in 2 weeks. But as we go through the steps to carry out our plan, it's our attitude that matters most. Do I want my way or do I want God's way? And we must be flexible and be able to improvise along the way. We must be moldable and teachable. Again, we must be flexible. The Bible gives us examples for both ends of this personality spectrum. And like so much in life, it's the middle ground that we need to be in. If we combine two of these key proverbs that we've looked at this afternoon, we can start to see that being a planner and being flexible are both godly principles. The plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance, but the Lord directs his steps. If you find after some reflection that you're not much of a planner, then you've discovered your area of focus to learn to be one. If you find yourself so rigid that you find it hard to adjust to things in your spiritual life, well, then you need to be more teachable. Who knows? Maybe God's trying to show us a new and better path for us in our lives, but we're too stuck in our ways to change or to handle God's change of direction in our lives. And to be frank, there isn't some magical way to become better planners or to gain more flexibility. It simply requires work and commitment, both of which are sermonettes in and of themselves. We need to learn to be flexible and to yield to God's will in our lives, because we're all on a journey of sorts. We've all punched in the coordinates into our handy-dandy GPS, and we're on our way. One could say that everyone in the world has a journey that they're on. But the difference for all of us in this room this afternoon is that our GPS is not a TomTom, it's not a Garmin, it's not an iPhone, but rather our GPS is God. And when you stop and think about that, I think it's really, truly amazing to think that the creator of the universe has such an intimate role in our lives that he tells us to avoid traffic jams and to change our route, to avoid potential hazards on the roads and the best way through them. Life is both about planning and being flexible. And we as Christians in God's church have to plan ahead for our spiritual journeys. We must count the cost as it will be, the cost that it will be before embarking on them. But once we've started our journey, we must then be able to be willing to yield to God's direction in our lives. Being flexible to adjust as directed, and maybe sometimes, maybe even having to pull over to the side of the road and asking for directions in the form of a prayer. And that flexibility has another name. Adaptability, which allows us to learn. It leads to our spiritual growth required so that we may enter into the kingdom of God. So plan ahead, but always allow God to make his own divine recalculations.